If you want to open up your Bibles to Exodus in chapter 3, we'll be spending most of the time in the passage, looking to Moses as he is there speaking through to the Lord through the burning bush. Again, it's good to see everyone. It's always wonderful to have this opportunity to gather together. But there's often many times that we come up with reasons and excuses on why it is we maybe can't make it, can't come together, or why we can't obey the gospel, why it is we can go forth and do certain things. And while I'm bringing out those points and looking to Moses, because Moses ends up bringing out a few excuses on why he shouldn't be the one to go and do the Lord's work, what I want to focus on after I talk about that is that God was there to assist in all points. God's always there, ready to assist, ready to aid you, ready to help you overcome all those excuses, all those temptations is what they are. Those temptations to keep you from doing what the Lord has commanded you to do, to keep you from obeying what He has told you to do, so that you can be saved. And of course, as Moses is being instructed here, so that he can save the rest of the children of Israel. And therefore, as we obey the gospel, we shine a light unto others, we're able to teach others and help others also live a faithful life to the Lord. So again, if you have not yet done so, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, let us look at Moses' excuses here. Exodus chapter 3, and look at verse 11. As he approaches the burning bush, the Lord speaks to him, tells him to take off his sandals, for this is holy ground. The Lord tells him what he is going to, that he needs to go and do, that he needs to go to the Pharaoh, go back to Egypt, bring out the children of Israel. So verse 11, Exodus 3 and verse 11 says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" Just in that one point, that we get caught up in so many different things that the Lord has commanded us to do so, that He has instructed us to do, and ask, "Well, who am I? Who am I?" Right? And you get caught up, Moses saying, "Who am I that I should go there?" And again, if we're just looking at Moses alone, Moses was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. And so he, and to an extent, is related to the Pharaoh's family by adoption, right? And so he was part of the... Who isn't he to go and to talk to him just on that point alone? But as we look at that, who am I? And I'll get focused on our ways of excuse of asking that here in a bit. But looking at just his excuses here, in verse 13, as you read a little further down here in Exodus 3, in verse 13, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they just say, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?'" And I know as we look at that, you may read that not as an excuse. I go back and forth on reading that. But I can sit there and I'm like, "Well, God, who do I tell him? I mean, what am I really supposed to say? You know, here I am. I was raised by the Egyptians, so who am I to go and deliver the children of Israel and approach the Pharaoh? And then, you know, I ran away, and now I'm coming back, and they're going to say, 'Well, who really sent you? What proof do you have? Who do I say I sent?'" So he's sitting here, you know, trying to bring out how he sees this playing out. They're going to ask, "What's his name? Who really sent you?" Moses is trying his way to escape from keeping the commands of the Lord. So jump into chapter 4 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Then Moses answered and said, 'But suppose they will not believe me, nor listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you.'" All right, well, okay, God, you've made it so far. I know I've asked, you know, who am I to go and do this? And you've answered that, and you answered, you know, who I'm supposed to answer. I'm supposed to tell them you sent me. But what if they don't believe? I mean, some people are just not going to accept what I have to say. Because again, who am I that they would listen to what I have to say? And so he comes to this point, "Suppose they will not believe me." And again, we're going to look at God's reply to all these here in just a moment. And then in chapter 4 and verse 10, another excuse. "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And again, he's just, I'm not an eloquent person. I'm not a speaker. I'm slow. I don't get my words out fast enough. And so therefore, you know, some people take this and they interpret that Moses might have had a stuttering problem. And so here we go. Moses saying, I'm not a person to go forth and talk to the elders and talk to the Pharaoh and go and approach them and go and approach them. He's like, it's not who I am. It's not, you know, you're choosing the wrong person. Again, it all comes back to that first point. Well, who am I? Who am I that I should do these things? And then he finally just says it in verse 13. But he said to the Lord, oh my Lord, please send by hand of whomever else you may send. He just gets down to it. Don't send me. Send someone else. It's not for me. This command that God has given is not mine. It is someone else's. Someone else can fulfill it. Someone else can do it. Don't send me. Send someone else. And this is just two chapters that we look at as we read through. And we know from this point on, it seems that Moses has a pretty good change of heart and not getting caught up in complaining and making up the excuses rather than he has to be there and listen to the complaining and excuses of all the children of Israel. But he did start off on this point of why me? Right? Why me? So what I want to do now is look at God's side. What did God answer when Moses made all these excuses? Why God could have looked, you know, after the first time Moses said it and he answered him. After that second question, well, I can understand that. You know, who is it that sent me? How do I explain them that you actually talked to me? What proof will I have? But eventually, you know, when do you say that's enough? And of course, that's what it kind of got to at the end. He gets caught up in telling them that's enough. And so the Lord's answers, let's look at those. In Exodus 3 and verse 12, with the first one, as Moses was saying, who am I? In Exodus 3 and in verse 12, it says, so he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve the God on this mountain. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who I am. Because God is with us. It doesn't matter who Moses is. It's the fact that God is with him. Notice he doesn't go forth and answer Moses who he is. He doesn't say, Moses, you're the one that I saved from those who were being killed by the Pharaoh. You're the one that was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter, so you know their ways. Moses, you stood up and he didn't go into this big spill. He says, I will be with you. That's all you need to know. God is going to be with you. That was the Lord's answer. He says, I'm going to assist you. I'm going to be there for you. In Exodus 3 and verse 14, as Moses asked that question of, well, who do I say sent me? What is the name? You know, when they ask me, whose name is it? And so here we look at what the Lord answers. And in verse 14, Exodus 3 and verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. He says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God, our Creator, is the one that is sending me to go and spread the Word of God. He is the one that sent Moses to go forward and free the children of Israel. I am the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses. He is the one that instructs us today. Again, it's a continuous point that he's bringing out. He doesn't say, well, tell them you talked to a burning bush. Tell them this miraculous thing that took place. No, he says, well, you just simply put it together. They know who their father is. They know who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. Tell them, I am has sent you. Again, he points out that God is going to be with him. God is going to assist him. And so we get down to chapter 4 and we get to that verse 1 where Moses is asking, well, what if they do not believe? So we read here, starting in verse 3, it says, and he said, cast, or verse 2, and it says, so the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rock. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that he may believe that the Lord God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put out your hand and your bosom. And he put out his hand and his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of this first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. It shall be that if you do not believe even these two signs, or listen to the to your voice, that you shall take water from the river, pour it into dirty land, and whatever the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Signs. He gives them signs and miracles. He proves it. All right, you want proof of it. It's not enough to just sit here and say, God sent me. Well, who's God? What God? Who are you speaking of? Tell them the great I am is sent you. And then he goes forth to say, well, you know, they probably may not believe still. Well, here's a few signs. His stick, his staff, his rod turning into a serpent. Turning back into a staff. Being able to turn hand into leprosy and back to clean. Turning water into blood. Yet God proves that he is with Moses. Shows Moses that he is going to do these things in front of Israel, in front of the Pharaoh, in front of the Egyptians, so that all will see. He gives them proof again and time and again. It comes back to that first point, though, of Moses asking, who am I? As he continues down this line, God continuously pointing out, I will be with you. I will be with you. The great I am, the signs that he gives. Moses again complains, saying, I'm not an eloquent man. I'm not a man of words. I'm slow in tongue. And so here we look in Exodus 4 and verse 11. It says, the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Again, Moses is bringing out, I'm not the right one. God says, I created you. I know what you can do. I know what you can't do. I will teach you what to say. The Lord will be with you. Finally, Moses just says, send somebody else. And here's where we see the anger of the Lord get kindled here. It says in verse 14, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. He said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth, with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. He says, that's enough. Here comes Aaron. He will assist you. He will aid you. I send you help. Now go. After this point, we see Moses goes to Egypt. He goes and tells his father-in-law that he must return. As he was returning, of course, he had a little issue with his wife because he had not circumcised the son. But eventually he gets back. He has to approach those in charge of Israel. He comes and meets Aaron, goes in front of Egypt, and we know the rest of the story as we look into the plagues, crossing the wilderness. Here, time and again, Moses started off with these excuses. And again, we can get caught up with the same excuses today. But all the excuses we make today are the same as we can look to Moses. And all the answers are the same as we can look to Moses. Is we might get caught up asking, who am I? Who am I that I should obey the gospel? Who am I that God would forgive me? Who am I that I should be hospitable? That I'm the one to have somebody over? Who am I to go and visit? Who am I to make phone calls? Who am I to lead singing, to lead prayer, to lead the Lord's Supper? Who am I to teach a Bible class? Who am I to invite people to worship or invite people to have a home Bible study? All those questions we might sit there and ask, and we try to pinpoint, and again, well, we got others that can do it. What if everybody's saying that, and who's stepping up? We may ask, who am I? Asking the question, and people are going to ask that question, who do I say sin? When we go out and you're trying to invite somebody to worship, when you go out and you try to invite somebody to have a Bible study, or when you're here and you go to your brothers and sisters in Christ, invite them over to your home for either a Bible study or just to get together and talk, to eat, to socialize, and become closer to one another. Who sent you? Who told you to invite me over? Yeah. We're going to come and look at those answers here in a minute. Suppose they don't believe me. Again, these are the same points that we bring out. Same excuses we look at as we look to Moses, as we look today. I'm not eloquent enough. I'm not the person that can get up and lead songs. I'm not a person that leads prayer. I'm not a person that gets up and is a good speaker with presenting a lesson. I'm not very good cook, so I'm not going to have people over to my house. I don't clean my house very well. That's why I have a wife. But she's ignoring me. We can come up with these excuses all the time. I'm not good at this thing. I'm not good at that thing. I'm not a, you know, people can't read my handwriting, so I better not send letters. Or, you know, when I'm on the phone and it's not, you know, people misjudge what I'm trying to say because they can't see my facial expressions. I just sound like I'm rude all over the phone, maybe. Yeah. We can come up with excuses over and over again. And eventually we just say, someone else will take care of it. Eventually we get down to that point, send someone else. So I do want to look at a few other scriptures outside of Exodus as we look at the reply of this, seeing that God is always going to be with us. Turn with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, as the Lord sends out His apostles, sends out the disciples to go and spread the Word of God. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. As we are instructed to keep His commandments, and as we look through the different commands that are throughout the Word of God, He is with you. He is there. When it comes down that you need assistance in reaching out to somebody, you need assistance in praying, you need assistance in stepping up and having the courage to lead songs, to lead prayer. You know, when it comes to the aspects of worship and leading worship, my hardest thing for me, at least, like getting up here and speaking, that's probably the easiest thing for me. I don't know why I get it from my dad. That's all I can say. Leading prayer was always the hardest thing for me. Leading a public prayer. I don't know why. It's just sitting down and trying to find it and not getting caught up and saying the same thing over and over again and reputation. But we can sit here and I can say, well, I can do the other things, but I'm not going to do that. But then how am I supposed to grow? How am I supposed to add? How am I supposed to learn without practice, without continuing to do it? God is there with us. If we're doing these things in truth and in spirit, as we worship in truth and spirit, as we read in John, then God's going to be judging your heart. That's what He's going to be looking at. And in any spot that you do it, in anything that you do, if you have somebody over and you're going to have them for supper or dinner or breakfast or anything, and you burn the food, guess what? God's not going to judge you for burning the food. Is your heart in the right place? Did you invite them over for the right reasons? God. Remember, God is the one that's going to be with us in all things, as long as we are putting Him first. Who do I say sent me? Again, and the point that, you know, why are we doing this? Because I want to serve God. And God tells me to serve one another. Jesus pointed out, as we do unto others on earth, we have done to everyone else. As we look at that example, right? Jesus is saying, you know, as we're judged, and we're sitting there on judgment, enter into the gates. Why? Because you saw me hungry and you fed me. You saw me thirsty and you gave me a drink. You saw me naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and in prison and you came and visited me. When did we ever see Jesus that way? And the same thing on the opposite side, when they say you didn't do all these things. When did we ever know that you were in need of help and assistance? As we have done unto others, we have done unto our Lord. And so God is instructing us to do these things to one another. To have brotherly love. To love your neighbor as yourself. To love your enemies. Why do we do these things? To keep God's word. Because as we look to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, it tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Or as some translations, all scripture is the breath of God, is God breathed. It is the words of God. How do we know? Because again, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, it says, "For prophecy never came by will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." They wrote these things down from their own memories, from their own words, with their own hands, as they were moved by God. God sent us. God sent us, and there God is going to be with you. God is going to assist you. He's going to help you with the strength, help you with your faith, and give you the courage, if you're willing to lean on Him, to help you. Suppose they don't believe me. Again, God gives him signs and miracles. God gives us His word here. We have the Bible. We looked to John this morning, John 20 and verse 30, as we looked at it, and John bringing out, he's given us all these signs and miracles of Jesus so that we would believe. It's written there so that we can turn to it. No, I can't perform the miracles that Moses did. I cannot turn a staff into a serpent. I cannot put my hand down here and pull it out and be leper. But I can read and open up the Bible and I can show others what had taken place. I can explain it. I can show the full picture of the Word of God as it is prophesied in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. The verse I couldn't find this morning, Romans 15 and verse 4. For some reason I was thinking it was a verse 15 and not chapter 15. But it's Romans 15 and verse 4. It says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Again, here, just telling us that all things written are written for us so that we can have it, we can use it, we can learn from it, we can teach each other so that we can have hope. And again, not everybody's going to believe us. We have to accept that. We can look to Moses as an example. How many times did Pharaoh deny it? Continued to reject the Lord, continued to reject even seeing the signs. He hardened his heart, would not accept the truth. But we have to remember that we are putting God first, and they're not rejecting us, but rejecting God. I'm not eloquent. I'm not good enough. Well, then work at it. Practice makes perfect, right? It's what we're talking about in our adult class as we continue to study, add to our faith, and going forth and studying these things that we're adding to our faith. We're talking about being diligent at this time and point. In 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If it comes down to going and studying and have Bible study, presenting the word of God in a lesson, well, how do you become better? By studying. By diligently searching the word of God. So that you know right from wrong. So that you are no longer tossed to and fro from the easy wind of doctrines of mankind. That it's not as someone comes along and starts teaching about this. Well, you know, that sounds right, but he's saying this and they're saying that. You know what's right and wrong because you've opened up your own Bible. You've studied it. You've searched the Scriptures. When you had questions, you asked, and when they gave you answers, you confirmed the teaching with the Word of God. What did God answer Moses? He says, "I will teach you. I will teach your mouth what to say." God is ready to teach us what to say right here. Word of God. It's in our hands. Ephesians chapter 4. When it came down to it, Moses says, send somebody else. And he gained Aaron, but Moses still had to go, right? Moses still had to do his part, though he had assistance. Again, we have assistance. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work and the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind and doctrine by trickery of men and cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speak in truth, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. God has given us assistance with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But He still expects you to do your part. He didn't just give Moses Aaron and let Aaron do all the work. Moses still had to go. He had to go to Egypt. He had to approach the Pharaoh. He had to go and approach the Pharaoh over and over again. He had to lead them across the Red Sea. He had to wander in the wilderness with the children of Israel. He still had to do his part. But he did have assistance. He had Aaron, Miriam. He had Joseph, Caleb, others who helped him along the way as he continued to lead the children of Israel. We got one another, but we still have to do our part. Who am I? I am simply a creation of God. And God wants to assist me. He wants to assist you. He wants to aid you and help you to do what He has commanded you to do. He has commanded us all to be zealous and repent of our sins. So if you're here this evening and you need to repent of your sins, to put them behind you, then we want to extend that invitation to you. If it is simply you need to go to God and pray to Him and ask for His forgiveness, or if you need to be baptized to wash away your sins, God is ready to assist you and help you, and He has sent aid. All your brothers and sisters in Christ here are willing to do their part also. We can help you. Please let it be known as we stand and sing.